Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Mike O'Mara Show. I have told the gentleman that we're going to do the mailbag, the Thursday mailbag that we like to do for you. And then we're going to get to quite an interesting little tale. And I will say that a number of times when I was going through this the last couple of days when I wasn't here and the guys were, I will tell you that I felt as though I was in some sort of mini little playlet.
Oh, a presentation, a dramatic presentation.
I don't want to over-tease, but I will tell you that is how much drama I feel that was experienced. And
could it be on the Lifetime Network?
No. Let me I'll explain
Summer Stock,
that.
Hamlet, Hallmark.
No, I don't think it even would warrant, when I lay all the facts out to you, I don't think it could even be there simply because of the level of drama we're talking about.
Okay.
It doesn't fit the bill. The level of drama does not measure up to other things that would be similar that you would put into that
TLC's
situation.
Hoarders.
Yeah, it wouldn't cut it. It wouldn't cut it. But for me, in the land of me, we and could my
put
little
you on
world,
TMZ,
and how it involved you guys, I would say, and you two can answer. I would say it merits a little drama.
Oh, I would
absolutely,
agree.
100%, yeah.
Especially with my lack of knowledge at the time of disseminating information. So I think that it will be interesting. But before we do that, it's not about me.
No, no.
It's not about Rob. It's not about Oscar. It really is all about you.
It's all about you.
Drama.
It's all yep. about you.
You.
All the time. Right. All these things that I do.
Drama.
Sure.
It's all about you.
You.
Are you done?
It's all
Are you done?
About you.
Drama.
So excited to be back to hear that. We have a new youngest listener.
Welcome to my world.
What was that last part there?
That was me singing the last note.
Oh.
I was into
we
it.
We have a new... What?
I was into it.
Thank you. missed you. We have a new youngest listener. Welcome to our world, Landon George Eckenrode. After 20 hours of labor, he's here! He's
Yay!
Here!
Woo!
Congrats to proud parents Derek and Lee Eckenrode of Delaware. Yay.
Welcome.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go... He still merits the bag?
I thought it was time that we gave him a little nod.
Oscar, you know who we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You think... You think he merits being in here?
It's been
with his behavior with
years,
us.
A few years.
All right, then we're going to say happy birthday to Dan Town.
Okay.
Dan Town turns 39 this weekend. Now listen, now you're getting quiet. This is your choice, Rob. You put him in there, and now you're going to get all wiggly on me? What the hell's going on?
What's funny is that he wrote a lengthier submission, and it's been narrowed down. So what we're doing, it's tough love.
All right, so you edited him, but he's still probably delighted that he's in here.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a rager.
Dan, hello. Dan, try to get along with others in the fan club. I'd appreciate that.
Plays Aaron, well with others.
Sure. Aaron Turner turns 43 today. This is his first TMOS birthday request, and even though he is in radio sales, he seems like a nice guy. There are some. I love certain radio sales guys.
Sure, certain ones.
I truly hated others, and I hated most of management. Happy birthday to Aaron. Aaron Turner. Aaron, go out there and sell. Remember, you're selling air.
Do you think, Mike, the salespeople you hated were the ones that would become management?
Would you like initials?
I would.
Ones that I really, really hated?
I have one I can throw at you.
Go ahead.
See
give
if
me
we
the
match.
Initials.
TM.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let me just say hate is too strong.
I don't know.
Because
he
I
was,
didn't hate
he
him.
He was, no, he was so selfish.
He was selfish, but he was just, I just didn't like him. I didn't
okay,
think he brought
so,
anything.
All right.
Like, for example, with me.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody tried to pretend to like this guy because he was so successful.
Right.
SG.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Now, No, a dick. A dick. Always and forever. And yeah. I made contact over the years, but, you know, by and large, you know, just showing up at 2 a.m. to work when everybody gets there at 9. So there we go.
Hi.
Hi. Right.
How are you? Those are the two. Thank you. That's all we need. Tom, let me see. Tom Townsend turned 37 yesterday, and Emily loves him very much. That's sweet.
That's nice, isn't
Hooray
it?
For Stephen Miller.
Fly like an eagle.
Different guy.
He turned 51 this week. Have a 50 wonderful birthday. Dwayne Krause often comes home with tears in his eyes, not because he hates his life, but because he is laughing at TMOS. This Saturday, he turns a nifty 50, so I bet he'll cry some more. Happy birthday, Dwayne. Don't be afraid to be emotional, my friend. That's Stephen right. Hernandez is now, and I quote, 40 f***ing two. How nice.
His words.
Stephen Hernandez, that's we mentioned that. Dale Collins turns 51 this month. A grateful nation sends their very, very best. Did he serve? Is that why
no,
we
No, he just gave me nothing. I had to work with something.
Well, okay. You know, you kind of, I don't know, I'm a super patriot, Robin. You diminish the service of others when you credit a man that has not served the country.
Oh, I didn't say the grateful nation was America. It was Greece.
Thank you. Peru.
Very good. That's good. That's right. For all that incredibly populous Greek family, the Collins family. Happy birthday to Jeff Mails of Beaver Dam, Virginia. Where's Beaver Dam? Do you know where Beaver Dam? You traveled the state.
I had never heard of Beaver Dam. I always thought it was Pennsylvania. I think it
near
must
the
be
Shenandoah.
Got to be near the Shenandoah.
All right. Beaver Dam, where I hunted beavers with my brother, Jerry. And it was a great afternoon until Jerry got bitten. You can often spot him around town in his dump truck laughing out loud at TMOS. And birthday greetings to Ann Wokus. She's from Orangeville, California, which has been described as like Citrus Heights, but with roomier meth labs. And happy 35th birthday to Amanda Dale of Buffalo, New York. And congrats on her promotion that kicks in on the 29th. Woo-hoo. Good for her. That is wonderful. On to the letters, gentlemen. Here we go. Hi, guys. I had a birthday last Saturday. I'm a TMOS bonus subscriber, and like any needy-ass TMOS listener, I want some things for my birthday. I hereby make the following requests of my overtasked pod fathers. Now, these are six things on her list. I will get the...
His list.
Oh, sorry about that. That's funny. The first part of the letter sounded chickish. Only six mostly easy things. Number one, I want TMOS to never stop. Well, as your boy might be experiencing now, tomorrow you never know about, pal. Number two, I want more Pony Boy as I am still gay for Pony. I will tell you that one I am putting the dinger on because I want more Pony
yeah.
Boy as well.
Yes,
I
mean, too.
Pony,
he's funny.
I mean, Pony is developing into, if we don't press him, or put any pressure on him whatsoever, he can slide in there. And by doing this positive reinforcement, it will help that.
You know what
so
he
you
is,
get
Mike?
Your wish.
As far as this show goes, he is a delicate souffle of comedy.
A true delicate souffle. Number three, please call Oscar a douche
Hi.
Or dingus. Your choice. I like dingus. I will refer to Oscar as a dingus when he says something compromising. I want Rob, this is number four, I want Rob to know that I love your taste, no matter what Oscar says about it. So that's saying he likes your taste, Rob?
I suppose that he prefers my taste to Dinkus's.
Groucho Marx's t-shirt.
Like hey, but you know who it was.
I know it is.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Like your whole retro thing and
perhaps.
The way you live your life.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, a happy birthday wish from Tom Brokaw, live from Lillehammer. Pull the magic handle of the slots of fun. We're going to do that within the list?
You want to do it now or you want to do it after his letter?
No, we'll do it now.
All right, let's go ahead and pull the handle.
See what happens. Old, old, old.
Hey!
There we go. Hey, there we go.
It went.
All right. Tom Brokaw disappointed in the coverage of the green pool by the NBC Olympic team. We would never have had that kind of coverage when we broadcast live from... Lillehammer.
What do you think caused the green?
I believe that the pool was filled with the bad chemical.
Hydrochloric acid?
Oh, smartass. F*** you, Rob.
Hey!
There
Whoa,
we go.
Tom.
Sorry, that's two. Sorry, Pony, I'm back.
Back,
let me
baby.
See. number six. And I just want you all to know that I live for your show every day, and I love you guys so much. Aww. So that was not even a request. It was
super
just
nice.
Just a nice thing, yes.
Love you guys. Chad, the pony-loving homo in North Barfthesda. Let me read that again, because that's good. Chad, the pony-loving homo in North Barfthesda, where taxes are high, and please, for Christ's sake, leave five car lengths in front of you at red signals during rush hour, a-holes. Thank you, Chad. That's very, very nice. Next letter. Hello, friends, if you would, please wish a happy belated birth-tacular to Mark Kendall, now in the Doppler douchebag era of his life at the big 60.
Wow.
Doppler douchebag. Oh, it's Doppel douchebag.
I like Doppler better.
Solid radar.
Doppler douchebag. Yeah. I have included a shiny new quarter for a tug on the mono-arm chuckle machine to see if a Rob Spiewak Betty Davis impersonation can inform Mark of what foods he should avoid at this stage in his life. Love the show, guys. Thank you, Jim Kendall. Rob, I'll let you make the
call.
Okay,
let's go. Cigarette, cigarette, cigarette.
He agreed to it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, how
I'm
nice.
Shocked.
How nice.
Well, Jim, you're not getting any younger. You better avoid the spicy foods, or you're going to get colitis. Also, greasy foods are going to give you the runs. You spend
Ms.
all
Davis?
Day on... Yes.
Ms. Davis,
yes.
You came in, and I didn't even open the door. I'm just kind of curious how you managed to pull that up. Usually everyone that comes
Don't be a wise ass. You know I'm a ghost. I came in through the vent.
Okay, thank you.
I'm ethereal.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to go now, too. Bye, Mike.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Here she goes.
Goodbye.
It's Betty Davis, ladies and gentlemen.
But you are.
There she is. Thank you. Where's you? Thanks, little bud. Dear TMOS gang, I stopped wasting my time on terrestrial radio, Bleck, and started listening to your inspiring podcast 1 year ago, thanks to my Uncle Mike and Aunt Nancy. Oh, I know those two people.
Yes.
Even though your listeners probably don't need to hear his name yet again, just kidding, he's an awesome guy, please wish Colonel Michael Colburn and his big sister / my mother Cindy a very happy birthday this weekend, August 21st. Yes, they share the same birthday 13 years apart. Michael and his sister share the same birthday.
I guess I know what his parents do every November.
They like to do it on the exact same day.
Thanksgiving babies.
Pretty cool. Thanksgiving
full.
Babies.
Let's
I'll
do
have to
this.
Ask him that someday. Best of luck with RoboHip number 2. You'll hear about that. And thanks for continuing to bring the funny throughout your difficult summer. Oh, not difficult at all. Jeremy Peace. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
That's a nice letter.
Michael Colburn's a good guy. Moving right along, gentlemen and Mac, if you guys could wish my pops, Jim Plott, a happy birthday, I would greatly appreciate it. He's a swell dude who's always down to party. Jimmy P. P.S. Last year I wrote to you guys and told you that my mom called my dad an effing a-hole. Nothing crazy like that has happened so far this year. But my mom's still Korean, and Koreans are still scary. It's a dude talking about his mother. That's funny as hell.
Wouldn't it be great if Jim Plott worked in a cemetery?
Jim Plott here. What plot do you want? Next letter. Hi, guys. My favorite middle child, Mary Hansen, turns 12 today. She loves cats, her daddy, and the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ah.
She also just started the 7th grade in Catholic school in the Dallas area. She was born in Cape Coral, Florida, just 20 minutes from Mike's current location, only a few short days after Hurricane Charlie. That was the bad one down
yes.
here. After it blew through west-south Florida in 2004. With that in mind, could Hurricane Charlie please return and offer any advice my Mary Blueberry could use as she enters middle school? Thanks so much, Randy Hansen. P.S., I'm excited to see TMOS will be streaming 24/7 soon, and good luck. So let's see if we can get Hurricane Charlie to come in. Let's see. Blowing a big one. Blowing a big one. Blowing a big one.
Hey, that's good news.
Ooh, scary. Hurricane Charlie here. Ooh, wow. Let's see. Mary Hansen, 12 years old today. Move to the Dallas area. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
What's the matter, Charlie?
Oh, my God.
Charlie, what's up?
Rob, she moved to Dallas.
Yes.
You know what that means.
What?
It's full of Texans. Bye.
There we go. That's Hurricane Charlie. I didn't say much about hurricanes. Hey, got one they're tracking down here now, but I don't think it's going to hit us.
Keep an eye on it, Mike, and let us know.
Yeah. Looks like a high pressure here and a high pressure there is going to squeeze that little one right between. I forgot the name. We'll get it and probably have him drop by tomorrow. Hello, Radio Gods. It's my 42nd birthday today, and my box wife, Jen, gave me undies and a set of five tracker devices. Gave me me undies.
The me undies,
and a set of five tracker devices. Love that TMOS code. Awesome. By the way, August 28th, Touch of Modern. That's when I get my watch.
Oh, cool. Ooh.
Really cool new watch. Very excited. Yes. That would be, that's right, that would be officially the one thing that I've had to look forward to all summer long.
Wow.
Can only get better, man.
Anyway, sorry.
Can you wear
that
it on either wrist, or do you have to keep the weight off the hip side?
Oh, it's an anklet.
Oh, that'll be nice.
So anyway, the tracker devices, thanks for the TMOS code. Hey, Pony, I plan to use one tracker on my new bike.
Ooh,
my last
idea.
Bike was stolen from right in front of my office. Wah, wah. We love supporting advertisers and thereby supporting the show. Keep up the good work, Ben and Jen Neff. Thank you, Neffs.
Yay.
I've seen that name
Thank
before.
You.
I know you're a big supporter of the show, and we really appreciate that. Why did I hit that? I have no idea. Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and the intern Menagerie, my birth name is Brian Emerson, but for the last 14 years, I have adopted another name for myself, Rob Spiewak. You see, I was trying to come up with a new name to use in some online game. Uh-oh. I was listening to the Don and Mike show and heard the sing-songy Rob Spiewak.
I think he means this.
Rob Spiewak.
The jingle?
Yeah. Or he might mean this
see,
one.
Right
Rob Spiewak.
Can't tell.
Okay. That's why he got that letter. You'd edit him out or normally.
No.
As soon as he said the sing-songy.
No, the letter is so creepy it had to stay in.
All right, I just want to say, not because of the spotlight on Rob. I love spotlights on Rob, there's something about this I got a bad vibe about.
Well, me too.
It's like Rob wrote it in.
The sing-songy Rob Spiewak that you guys used to play. Being a drooling idiot at the time, I spelled the name phonetically and incorrectly, but it stuck. Today I answer to Rob as readily as I do my own name and continue to use it as my screen name on every game I play, okay, and every website I visit, yeah. As my 33rd birthday was last Monday, okay, the age fits, my only request is to ask Mr. Spiewak to legitimize my use of his name, however poorly I've spelled it, for such a silly request, it would...
Rob Mobber.
Yeah, I mean, flat out pure...
Though
oh my
brilliant
God.
In some respects because...
Right, yes.
He's using a celebrity's name.
Right.
I use that word loosely.
Thank you very much.
As his gamer tag.
But no more thought going into sentence structure in this letter.
No.
Thank you all for everything you do and keep bringing the funny. Brian Emerson, newly minted 33-year-old. P.S. Thank God there's always one of those. For Pony, you know all that drinking you do? If you did that at a bar instead of at home, you would meet more women. Find a place with an outdoor smoking patio and look for the women who smoke. If they smoke... Okay, this one makes me laugh. If they smoke, they poke. Just saying.
That is great. That is great.
Based on even though there was a good ending on that, I cannot with full confidence say keep using my name. I don't like that. Please stop using my name.
There it is. That's 33. No longer gives 33. Can't use Rob's name.
Please.
We heard the sing song though.
There you go. That's a shame. Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and the... we got that already. I must have printed that out twice. Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and various interns, I've been a loyal listener since the early 90s, and I literally went from a boy to a man while listening to the D&M show. I drank Buckler beer because you pimped it. Oh, what a horrible beverage. Rob made me laugh until I couldn't breathe when he dialed for transvestites. That was all of us. Mike's dead-on impressions would have me rolling in hysterics. I once saw a woman put a cigar... Yeah, okay. You inspired me... Okay.
Thanks. Hey.
Oh, no, it's
that.
A very nice
yeah, I
letter.
I want to see that.
Sorry, the Mike, cigar thing. Yeah, sorry.
If you skip past that, there is a tidbit in this letter that
you
will make
love.
You glad you stayed
yes.
with us. I promise. And I did clean up the cigar thing.
Aren't you glad you're back?
It wasn't as graphic. It was much more graphic. If you pick it up,
hold on. I'll figure out. I'm reading ahead. All right, hold on. You inspired me to follow my dreams and get into radio. I worked at your Baltimore affiliate until CBS fired me in 2010. I found your podcast shortly after the first episode and haven't missed an episode since.
Aww.
I was leery of Oscar at first due to an incident at 105.7 when we both worked there. What'd you meet him? Anyway, and we both worked there, but he has grown on me, and I now couldn't imagine the show without him. Don't tell anybody. I might agree with you and feel the same way, sir. It sucks. He's got an MBA. He's going to go somewhere someday.
Yep.
I know he's going to leave us. So here I sit, 2 days away from getting married for the first time, and I would love to get some advice from the guys who have been like family for me over the years. Mike, what sage wisdom can you bestow on me so I can make this my only marriage? Okay. Can I give it to him before the end of the letter?
Yeah.
All right. My advice would be, when you write a letter that includes the single thing that I am the least proud of in my entire radio career, that really gives a step back. Some people that would work with somebody for 20 years might pick up on that and edit it out anyway, but he won't. So I will pass along that. Thank you. Let me see. Rob, how have you and Carrie done it over the last few years?
You pick your battles and you usually let her win.
All right. Oscar, well, I've already learned not to throw. God, you didn't like that,
that
advice?
That was so... you're better than that.
No, I'm not.
Oscar, I've already learned not to throw my fiance's phone across the room, no. So we're good.
Yeah, let that go, my friend.
That was funny. Let me see. Thanks, guys. I love the show and will continue to spread the word to anyone who hasn't yet discovered how amazingly talented you guys are. Sincerely, Dave Gagarik. Is that the Gagarik?
Exactly, yep.
He's a producer, Maryland's Morning News, WBAL 1090, a radio guy.
Yeah, and a nice guy. I've met this guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
P.S. All of the wedding supplies were purchased through the Amazon portal and invitations through Vistaprint. That's very kind. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. P.P.S. The Oscar incident. Oh, he includes that.
Oh.
While working at 105.7 as a board op for WHFS, Oscar called in to talk to the on-air jock. When I told him he would have to hold for a minute, he started yelling at me and pulled the "Do you know who I am?" card.
Sounds about right.
I told him I didn't, and that he would have to wait. He unleashed a stream of profanities and said he would get me fired.
Probably.
Oh, my God. That's
worth it, right?
I know you wanted that whole letter in there so you could get this on. That's
exactly.
I understand
that's
that.
Fair.
That's right.
In
right.
Baltimore, dark days. Dark days.
I don't know, yeah. Oscar. Yeah. You're better than that.
Oh, no, no, no. No, you cannot compare me in my 20s to you in your 40s.
Oh,
yes.
Why not?
Because that's not a fair comparison.
That's right. Well, I'm so much better.
How about me in my 50s? I'll tell you one thing before we start the show.
Yeah.
Better than being dead.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Happy vacations.
Let's just find a hotel. I'll call my parents. They'll wire us some money. We can fly home and forget this entire vacation ever happened.
Honey, just relax, okay? I told you I'm not angry anymore. I'm in complete control. I'm sure they're not repairing every ride at the same time. I think they owe us a little explanation. I think they owe us a little fun, okay? Whatever happens, just trust me. Will you just trust me? Huh, kids?
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.
Yes, we're here to see Mr. Roy Wally.
What is your name, sir?
Clark W. Griswold.
What's this regarding, Mr. Grizzle?
We're here for public amusement relations. There's a summer inspection to a personal matter.
Ah. Well, nobody notified this office of anything.
Well, I'm notifying you.
I'm afraid I'm going to need a little more than that, sir.
Okie dokie. How's this?
Clark, have you lost your mind? Where did you get that?
Sporting goods store, honey. Now you listen to me, fat ass. You do what I say and there won't be any problem, okay? Okay. We just drove 2,460 miles just for a little Roy Wally entertainment. The moose says you're closed. I say you're open.
We're not really violent people. This is our first gun.
No, it isn't.
This is Wade Byard, the public information officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
Oh, do I love that. I can't wait till the snow season when we start using that. Live from the Pfeiffer Room in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air and online everywhere. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and internet broadcast with the greatest listeners in the universe because they get it. And if you're here, you will too. Our phone lines are always open at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. When we're on, you can call us anytime. Our show today brought to you by Tracker. We all live in an era of smart cars, smartphones, smart homes. Technology has made everything smart until you lose something and you feel like an idiot. That's enough to make any smart person feel stupid. Everybody feels dumb when they lose something. But losing things now, a thing of the past, just like you heard in the mailbag. One of our listeners already enjoying Tracker. Oscar, Rob, and I love our trackers. What is it? You might want to know. If you haven't had your head in the sand, let me tell you. Tracker is a coin-sized device that locates misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers, bikes, in the case of that listener. Yeah. Anything in seconds, you know. Imagine that. You put a tracker on your bike. It's gotten ripped off in front of your office. It happens again. Call the cops. Track it down. Tell the cops where it is. Get your bike back.
There it
is. Pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to anything, and you can find its precise location with the tap of a button. I so wish I had Tracker back when I saw my old Willow Lake apartment. Then I wouldn't have had my phone stolen. Because if you lose your phone, just press the button on Tracker and your phone will ring even when it's on silent. 1.5 million devices, the largest crowd network in the world with Tracker. You can never lose anything again with that, thanks to it. Thanks to TMOS listeners for sharing their thoughts about Tracker and all of you buying it because it's a wonderful device. Our listeners get a special 30% discount off their entire order. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's thetracker.com. The hardest thing you will ever have to find is their website. Go to thetracker.com right now and use the code TMOS for 30% off. That's thetracker.com, code TMOS. And thank you. So we are running super late because of the mailbag. So I will use this first little segment here to kind of set up a table of contents.
Oh, good.
This is a little novella. Some of you haven't heard this show. Some of you are behind in your shows. Some of you listen live every single day.
Right.
For those of you that are catching up, I'm going to tell you a story that involves me that began probably last Wednesday and continued through yesterday evening. And it is a story that was really, really interesting because once I had my hip surgery, I cruised through what I thought was a pretty smooth little rehab, and everything was hunky-dory, and I was cruising along. And in fact, the people that would come here and do my evaluations and my PT were telling me I was ahead of schedule.
By all estimates, you were ahead of schedule.
Yeah, about Wednesday, there are two things that had happened during that I wouldn't even call them setbacks, but they were problematic. You know, one of the reasons I've got a bad hip is because I got bad joints all over the place, including my back, which is really kind of tied into the hip and kind of related. And I had tweaked it on two separate occasions. The second one, the first one went away in about 24 hours. It's the mid part of the back. It's probably because I was gimping around a little bit, sitting wrong, favoring the left side. And I tweaked it, and it went away, resolved itself in about 24 hours, and I was fine. And I think it was the way I walked, the way I sat. And, you know, your body's a little out of whack when you get this new thing going on. And so I didn't think anything of it. The second time I did the same thing was when my daughters arrived, and that happened about Wednesday. And it was a little worse, and it hurt my mid part of my back, right around the rib cage. And it also hurt to breathe because of the back pain, or so I thought. Mm.
And we remember you were actually, you did two shows where I will say you were playing in pain. You hit it.
Yes.
It's extraordinarily well, but we could see that you really, you were short breathing. You couldn't take a full breath, which is tough when you talk for a living.
It you know, and it was Thursday was a little bad. It wasn't that bad. Really not noticeable to anybody but you guys. Friday, a little more, especially with spots and news you may not need when I'm reading copy of any kind, a little tougher. You may notice even today I'm slowing down the way I'm talking a little bit because I can get, you know, I listen to other people, comedians, for example, that do podcasts, and you know, Rob and Joe, great example on our network, the Rob and Joe. They, you know, a couple of guys just chatting. We're DJs. I move at a breakneck pace.
Quick.
It's part of the way. It's part of the
Fast.
Reason that I
there's your lung.
Actually, there's my lung right there. The lung just called. But
we're leaving. Part of the,
it's part of the, you know, it's part of something I'm doing. I'm thinking about it, being aware of it. Thanks, Kathy. That's my darling, wonderful sister who's calling me right now.
Did she send you a picture of a healthy hip?
She's part of the story. She's I started feeling like crap on Wednesday night. You know, had my daughters down here, chalked it up to all the three ring circus going on.
Sure,
having too much people in the house.
Stimulus.
Yeah, entertaining them coming in. I think I've alluded to it on the air a couple of times. And then Thursday, you know, Friday night, played like board games with the girls again, and just was a rag. I was just out. I mean, I just washed out. I didn't, you know, I just didn't feel good, man. And this lung thing, all of a sudden, is becoming evident to me that it wasn't the back, that it's actually the lung itself, and I really felt horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my back. I mean, on my back, flat out, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Decided I would get up and go to physical therapy Monday morning. Come back. I don't even remember. Did I do the show Monday?
Monday you did. We had that late start. We started at 10.
It was a great show.
It was a great show.
I was
best of material.
If you would listen to the Monday show with the with the breathing. Is he being sincere?
He's being very sincere. But when
why
he
did,
said
why that, did why did Pony laugh first? Then you smirked. All of you.
Because he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
It's the last thing you need to hear right now.
Well, no. Okay. Tell me why it wasn't a good show.
No, it was a fine show.
Well, then why did he say sarcastically that it wasn't?
Because he's an a-hole. I know we keep getting to that same part of the circle.
Let me look at both of you. If you think for 1 second I've lost my goddamn edge, I will fly up on today's... I will be on the next flight. I will be on JetBlue landing at National, and I will be there at 2 o'clock. So anyway.
So, Pony, you're going to need to pick him up at the airport.
Let me calm down.
Will do.
Right. You want to break and reset?
We will break. And, yeah, I'm not going to lay out a table of contents. I think I'm laying the whole thing out right now.
Yeah.
That's chapter one. By Monday after the show is when I decided I had to take a little bit of action and do what I hate to do, which is go to see doctors. Thus, the odyssey began. We'll be back with more on The Mike O'Mara Show.
So, you love listening to The Mike O'Mara Show? Well, we want to let you in on a little something-something. We have a new bonus show every week. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com/bonus for your extra hour of Full Throttle Uncut. Ball-busting fun for your week.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Bonus. Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, Rob, programming note, and I'll do it right here on the show. You know how we have that one break where we take a break and we come right back?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to have something recorded in every... I've been meaning to tell you that for 2 years.
Cool. But, all right.
Yeah, so we can pop everything in there so it's not just
me,
you know, because Daddy's going to need a little break. Thank you very much.
Understood.
I appreciate that. Welcome back to the show.
More Robin Joe.
Stamps.com.
They are great.
There's got to be... They are great. Merle? No, I'm sorry. Who is it? Amy? There's got to be a better way to mail and ship stuff. I will literally get correspondence now.
Really?
Yeah. I will get correspondence now.
Always nice to be loved, Mike.
Going to the post office takes up way too much time, and leasing a postage meter is way too expensive. Well, it turns out there is a better way.
Yes.
Stamps.com, the better way to buy postage. Think about the commercial. Don't think about
that. Focus.
Stamps.com. You use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Send anything. Send letters to shows you love. Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter. Plus, no more time-consuming trips to the post office, people. You will even get special postage discounts that you can't get at the post office. We have used Stamps.com for years, and we adore it. It saves us time and money right now. Use our code TMOS for this special offer, a 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you will be printing postage from your own desk. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and TMOS. You will never have to go to the post office again. So welcome back. One of the things I'm going to say right up front is through all this medical stuff that I have dealt with, one of my things is you don't want to sit. That might clue in some people with medical knowledge as to what I'll be talking about in the long run, but I'm telling you that because I discussed this with Rob. I've already gotten up one or two times. I'm going to be working on a stand-up board here where I'm going to be standing up doing
standing
the show.
Standing up is probably better for broadcasting overall.
It is. Much better for breathing. Always has been.
Do you want to stand up now?
Yes. Could I stand up? You said you had music for it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Such a dick, Rob.
So whenever you stand, we have that element to pad and let people know what's going on, because we want to let people know what's happening.
Torso cam.
Exactly. Can we practice one more time?
Yes, of course. Yeah, go ahead. Mike will now stand.
Circulation time.
Hey, don't skip ahead. But anyway, so Monday.
Mike, I'm going to send you some socks.
No.
Prescription socks.
You know what? Seriously, hey, you're skipping ahead. Don't skip ahead. But anyway, everybody knows medicine, knows what you're talking about.
Okay.
So you're ruining it. You're ruining my story.
Stop ruining it.
And
no,
I'm
we're
going
not.
To get pissed off.
Please don't.
Why don't you sit up straight, okay? Because the way you're sitting right now, you're going to have my condition. Is he sitting straight?
Yes, he is.
Are you sitting, Raymond, are you sitting straight up? Are you
How
doing that right now?
Flipping dare you.
Sit up. Just pull yourself up a little bit. Bring the gut in just a little. Make me happy. There you go.
Make you happy.
Wonderful effort.
Make you happy. Piece of cake.
Yes, sirree. I love that stage show. Anyway, the thing is, what are you measuring him?
No,
is that what you're doing?
Well, Rob was almost sitting up straight. Almost, right?
That was an inch that helped.
Yeah.
That was an inch that helped.
What do you mean? What stage show?
No, you see, I'm referring to something that happened earlier on the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
That's a callback.
It didn't mean anything to you, meant the world. But anyway, that's okay. But that's my own little thing. It's my own, and by the way, I've been through it, so give me a little leeway.
I understand. I apologize.
Right. Just talking about the reference of the Monica.
I understand,
Hated it.
It'll never happen again.
Hated being
I assure
part of
you
it. Hated being up there. Didn't like it. A lot of people loved it. Anyway, I go to PT. My bone doctor, Sawbones, the guy that worked on the hip, is not available because he's cutting on other people on Monday. I make an appointment for 7:15 in the morning on Tuesday.
That's usually when they put you in ahead of the game. So that's like they almost invent an appointment for you.
The great thing about this doctor is he does early appointments anyway. And it's great to get the early appointment because I get it and then I come in here. So Tuesday I'm still, the chest is hurting. Mm-hmm. The back is so-so, but I'm saying this seems like a chest thing. And I go in. And then the first thing that is a little freaked out. Now listen, everything's going to be fine, but I just want to make sure I preface this by saying this is my first little scary moment. As I'm taking my shower at about 6 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, that's this past Tuesday, and I'm hacking, and finally I hack and a little something's there. And it's BLOOD.
Oh, man.
That's
bad.
Which every movie we have seen, everything we've ever heard,
just like
everything
Stranger
that
Things.
Tells us, it is not a cool thing. It's what that happens when you're dying in a Western.
That's,
you know, you sit there,
Mike,
and you freak out.
When I saw the Ryan White story as a kid, remember the kid with AIDS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, I had to ask my mom what that meant. And she said, muerte.
Muerte! Muerte! And
I related to it signaled in the made-for-TV miniseries about Frank Sinatra. That signaled the end of his career in the 50s.
Because
when he coughed
up
blood.
Throat.
Yes.
It's never good.
No.
It's never
muerte.
Good. But I, by the way, I already have an appointment. So, you know, at least I'm going in. And to be honest with you, I freaked, but not totally, because I just didn't. I didn't choose to at that particular time. But you immediately think, I think there's a movie, man, it's William Hurt, and he plays a doctor that gets the big casino, and I think of that movie where he coughs that up. And it's scary, but I'm on my way.
It wasn't Jam.
You know what? Who said, Carla, in her infinite sensitivity, said to me, was it that red? Was it part of one of those red Tylenol gel caps you take?
You take.
I said no, dear. I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay with that. I think
he's
I'm
saying
going to
that
fine.
You tend to overreact.
Yes. Now, and
at least she didn't indicate it was someone else's blood.
Thank you.
Or something else's blood, like a rare steak.
That's right. So let me. I got it. Now I got to get moving on this because I said goodbye to Carla, hopped in the car,
right,
drove down to Sawbones, got in there for the 7:20 appointment, And they had referred to this appointment with their miraculous volume of people that travel through this office as a reevaluation. Well, the you're going
to
be
they do love to soft sell it, don't they?
No, what they love to do is categorize, because that makes life easier.
Mm-hmm.
When everything is like this and like this and like this, you go through it. And I realize immediately when I go through the door, they're going to do exactly what they did with my 4-week follow-up appointment. And I don't have that. This is the first time that even in a really tiny way, I'm going to try to be my own advocate here, because I know. So I say to the guy, I said, are you taking a hip x-ray? I said, no, I don't need that. I've got, and I give him the symptoms. I said, I called because of this and this and this. And he says, okay. And he's a cool guy. I've dealt with him before. He says, just go and wait in the outer, inner waiting room, and they'll see you. And then, so I wait, and they take me down, and I meet with the good doc. And he explains it's like a nosebleed, maybe a little capillary or something like that. But he recommends that because of the back, I go to a pain dude. And he also wants me to see my primary care physician because of the chest thing. He's a little worried about this. So he sends me off. They don't look. They do great with
the
bones.
They did dick.
Oscar, I'm still going to be interacting with these people.
No, we never mentioned
please,
the name.
There are many of the people
they
in this food
know.
Chain. There are many people in this food chain that now not only know the show but have a card.
Look up so Sawbones MD.
No, please, you see, what Oscar meant to say is that they did their very best to put you in the hands of people that could help you with your particular ailment at that time.
There was one individual that I had not seen before that is the advanced person for the good doctor. And let's just say she was not burdened with a tremendous concern over my particular situation.
No one likes a burden.
Nor would she be. But the thing is, I think when I was told the doctor will be right in, and then she came back in, because I had mentioned that I had a low-grade fever as well, on and off. And when she came back in and says, I forgot to take your blood pressure and your temperature, that's when I knew things were making up.
Red flag.
Hey, let's just keep moving. Let's keep moving.
Wow, a doctor that forgets to take your blood pressure.
No, not
and temperature.
A doctor. This is the assistant, whoever that is.
A doctoring firm, I should say. Yeah. An organization that forgets
he's
that.
He's got a regular person I deal with there normally who's the actual real assistant, and she's phenomenal. And she was not in this chain.
Probably a temp.
So I was.
So to speak.
So I don't know.
Forgot to take his temp.
Too much detail. I gotta move past this. So I'm off, and that's it. And I'm off with a level of urgency that when I explain the symptoms, they want to see me immediately. So I'm going from a 7:15 appointment to a 9 o'clock appointment.
And it had to be about they probably turned you loose. I'm guessing at about 7:30 because I know when you texted me.
Was that about the time?
About that time where you said,
probably. Because it was real quick once I got in there. And so 7:45, I want to say, it was later than that, Rob, because I texted you probably when
I can tell you right. I can tell you right now.
The text is probably right, but I'm saying I know that it took me 45 minutes to get to this appointment.
We got the skull and crossbones at 7:35.
7:35. Yeah, so it took me a long time to get up to the doctor's office.
Right.
And the timing is working out pretty well with this. I go in and the physician's assistant, who, ladies and gentlemen, the ding will indicate our first medical hero in this situation.
Oh, I love heroes. Ooh.
Story arc.
Let me just say, I don't want to say hero. It's overstating it. I want to say our first truly competent person at what they do.
Well, Mike, doesn't that make them a hero?
Yeah, it does in my book.
If you do your job.
And let me just say, through all this, I'm going to tell you a lot about medical people, and I'm going to say my level of esteem for the overwhelming majority of people that do any of this crap is pretty well off the charts at this point, because I think they see an awful lot of crap every single day, a lot of routine, and I'm very pleased with everything that went down. So I go in there. She listens to the old chesteroo, and then this is the first time I hear she thinks I might have a blood clot. And that's the second little, and she said, and if you do, we got to kind of work quickly on this, because that's kind of a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know me, I the great underreactor, no problem at all. I'll I'm a little mildly freaked out at this. And,
sure.
The good doctor, who she's the assistant, even though he was booked solid, he pops in, he has a chat with me, and then I am off to get my test. Because I am allergic to the stuff they shoot in you to look at your lungs,
the
your
dye
and stuff, I'm getting this super ultra modern type of test that doesn't get invasive, where they just bring you in there and do it. But before that, they're also going to do a chest x-ray, and they're going to send me down to the hospital.
Hospital?
Yeah, and they send me down to the one. This will involve two hospitals, okay?
All right.
This will involve the one hospital where I had the test and the one that I eventually ended up in.
Oh, there's a tease.
There's a tease, ladies and gentlemen. So, I'm off to the hospital. What was the name of it? I think I wrote it
down. Oh, you have a name written down?
IDGAS Hospital.
IDGA.
Do your own. Hey, do your own work, people. Yeah. We'll be right back. Yeah. Hey, for all you beachgoers, we want to make sure you listen to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you're heading down the ocean, hun, you can listen to us Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, bonus time, bonus time, bonus time. Still, even though it's the end of the summer, you can get yourself the Mike O'Mara Show bonus package. It's all waiting for you at MikeOMaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS bonus packages. When you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up. So why wait? Whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, we love our bonus show subscribers. And
the best.
Truly, truly, we thank you for your support. Click that bonus banner and get her done. The TMOS bonus package. Order right now.
Listen to this man. He knows. Mm.
You deserve it, people. You deserve it. And Lord knows we deserve it. Am I right, fellas?
Yeah, it's a mutual benefit.
I got to kind of cut some corners here to get to the point. I'm tested for, because they think I have a blood clot. They want to also give me a chest x-ray to see whether or not I have pneumonia to rule out any of that. Both these are chest things. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Been hacking. And, when you have a surgery like I do, there's a chance you have that. I thought I was well out of the window. The bone doctor did too. Mm. But it turns out this physician's assistant, with her evaluation, didn't think so. She's the first one that said, this is what we should do. So I go in there, and super nice old lady volunteers at the front. They send me back to Sleepy Time Testing Center, where everybody I think it was the timing. This started out where they move things so quickly when they think you have a blood clot that I went from 9. They said, we'll see you at 11 to get this test. When's the last time you had a major test done at 11? The first beginning for this this little center is they didn't have whatever they needed. They called it a dose, but I didn't get a dose of anything. So I have no idea what this was involving, but they moved it till 2 o'clock. The time between 11 and about 10:45 and 1:30 when I had to be there is probably the first time where I'm going through a pretty long anxiety period where, I want to know what the F is going on.
And also, if they're keeping you
freaked out,
if they're keeping you busy, if you're in the middle of the test, you're not going to freak out. The time you freak out is when you have time to think about what's going on. And that 2 hours of downtime is going to drive you nuts.
For anybody that gets a bad knee or an MRI or any kind of test, or you go in, when you are sitting there, this is something you can save yourself some aggravation. The people that do these tests are trained to do the test. Neither are they qualified or are they authorized to let you know what's going on.
Yeah,
if you
no
get
results.
A veteran, you may get a code, you might get a clue, and some of them might do that, but the overwhelming odds is they're not going to do anything. At the same time, you get some of them that are,
know-it-alls.
Wonderful. No, I was going to say pleasant when you deal with them, and then you get some people that aren't engaging. That's the word I would say.
That's a great word for it.
Both the chest x-ray and this little nuclear scan at the first place that I went, they were not necessary. Look, I try to keep it light. I try to be cool. I try to be nice. At a certain point, they're not having any, and I shut it down, and I no need to chit-chat. But they're pleasant exchanges, and everything's fine. But it's just kind of like,
not what you
let's
needed.
Get her done. And then I'm done, and they send me to an empty lobby down the hallway. The guy that did the second test kind of walks away.
Mm-hmm.
I got a guy that looks like he was sweeping up. He said, go down here. Sit down here. We'll get you in a minute. And I wait. I sit down, and I wait. And he comes down. This guy, I have no idea what's going on. There's no introduction, no name. I don't know who this guy is. So you're good to go. And I said, okay, what was the deal? I don't know. He said, you're good. You're good to go. Everything looks good.
So this guy that looks like he's hired help
that
was just sent down the hall to tell you to go home.
That was the extent of the answer I got.
Wow.
You're all right. You're good to go. The guy has to file a report, but you're fine. They're
you don't have
their
to
way.
Stick around.
So I believe with that, incorrectly, that I am being what dipshit did not tell me was that, no, the radiologist was filing a report and doing his analysis, which was going to be sent to my doctor's office.
But you thought that you were just in the clear.
Well, I thought if there was a clot, if the,
they would have stopped you, you would have been admitted.
But these are all assumptions, so I don't know the answer to that because it didn't happen. All I know is I went back home, and then I was instructed to call my doctor's office and follow up and get a call. And so I call them, and they said, she's with a patient right now. She will call you back. That was probably at about 2:30, 3 o'clock. I didn't get a call back until about 5 after my second call. I got a call probably at 5:30. And that is, how are we on time right now?
We're good. We're at, we have 10 minutes before we have to break.
Okay, so that is the first time I'm standing in my living room. Now, by the way, I believe there's no blood clot. There's no problem at all.
Any more blood and coughing up?
No. In fact, nothing. Very little has happened in that department
okay.
at all.
Okay,
good.
And I'm just cruising along, and I'm just waiting, and I just was going to say, so what's the next step for treatment? How are we going to deal with this? And, you know, so I'm satisfied that there's not going to be a blood clot, but I'm also... I'm still feeling like I've been hit by a freight train.
Sure.
And I'm a little concerned. I get the call, totally unexpected, and she gets on the phone with me, and she says, your nuclear scan for a clot was negative. No, they didn't show a clot. I'm like, oh, thank God for that. But they did see some things on the x-ray.
Ooh.
And I freeze. I freeze like I've never frozen. In the middle of my living room, I freeze. She said there is some fluid outside of the lung that is concerning. It appears that you have an enlarged heart, and it appears that you have borderline congestive heart failure. And I blanch.
Of course.
I haven't heard those words. I don't know what it is. I think I can tell what it is when I say, I look at my wife, she looks at me, she stops, we're frozen. It's just pretty overwhelming.
Yes.
And I don't know what the hell's going on. And I said, okay, I don't have any questions. I'm just going, I hear one thing. I hear heart failure.
Yeah.
I hear this, and I begin to process in whatever way.
Do the mental math.
Processes with
hard living.
Do the mental math.
Zero exercise.
Thanks so much. That's a zero exercise.
Bad diet.
Oh, you are such an asshole. But anyway, the thing is.
Everyone's good at something, Mike.
The thing is, and I'm looking at her, and I don't know, you know, it's a little bit of mini shock, and you're sitting there, and
especially
then,
when the lead of the conversation is that the minor thing you were worried about is not an issue, but there's heart failure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, hey, no blood clot, everything's fine. So I go back, sit down. Carla's sobbing. I'm white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about here's a bulletin for everybody. I wasn't really thinking about yours truly. I was thinking about a 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how, you know, how horrible this was because I didn't know. Now, by the way, ultimately this diagnosis, had it been something that you know, was not caught early, would be something that I think ultimately what I found out, I educated myself about it. At this point, I'm hearing these. I don't know anything. I get a call back from the physician. We'd like you to come in right now.
Mm.
And all this stuff is like, I'm surprised I can remember to tell you what's going on because it's like, all this is bam, bam, bam. They want to do an EKG. They do an EKG at the office. And they kept the office, this lady kept the, I'm not going to mention any names specifically because that's not cool and I've gotten no permission to do it. But this lady, the PA, was somebody who kept the office open. They were all closed when I arrived.
So she's another hero.
That's how cool they are.
This is a literal hero.
She's the same one that diagnosed it.
Oh, okay. Oh, so she remains. Oh,
we're
going
to get back to her. And I go down there, negative, and she says, okay, we've got cardiologists right across the hallway, and we're going to put an authorization in for a chest CAT scan without contrast. And I looked at her, and I said, you've been terrific. You've been fantastic. But I had enough time to think in the car and in your waiting room. And as I'm waiting for all this, I'm putting on a different hat now. This is called the I'm an advocate hat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. I'm not waiting till tomorrow. I'm not waiting for anything. I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling worse by the hour. I want to go to a hospital. And I think I should go to a hospital. And she says, you're absolutely right. I understand completely. We're going to send you to the ER.
Yeah.
And she says, she mentions the previous hospital. I said, no, they don't have the facility there. And based on what went down today, I'd like to go to this place, which is 2 miles further down the road that has the big show.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to go to an ER and all things are equal because they're all in the same system, that's where I'd like to go. I am on the way to, you know, this place. And that's when I have no choice because I'm thinking my family, I'm thinking the show. And for, I think the first time we've been working together, I have to call you guys and put you on a conference call because I didn't know what was going on. And all I knew was the diagnosis and I'm on the way in there and I had to let you guys know. Have I ever called a conference call? We've done loads of texting.
We've done that.
Yes.
But you've never done one where you said as soon as possible, please.
When the hip, when you were getting surgery on your hip. And then that other time when you had an emergency at your house in Manassas. And then there was another time before that when we were going to do the show a little later. You those conference calls only happen when something momentous is changing the show.
Really, it means a lot when that happens.
I was, and I've been dying to ask you guys, and I was going to save it on the air. I have no idea. All I know is that I was kind of holding it together when I called you,
and I have no idea.
I have no idea how it landed on either one of you.
If someone didn't know you, they wouldn't have probably picked up on it. But, Oscar, correct me if I'm wrong, do you know on the podcast app on your iPhone where you can listen at 1.5 speed? You were talking at 1.5 speed, and your voice was 2 octaves higher.
Yeah.
You were very, very tense and intense and focused on relaying the information that you had for us.
Right.
And you were together, but there was definite tension in your voice.
Couple takeaways from the call. One is I thought Rob was hammered because it was after 5.
Well, I was sober.
And then two, because the call I got from Rob, Mike, that's when he's a conference call. Can you connect us?
That is almost like he recorded it. It is so accurate.
And then two, you got on the phone. And again, my disposition to these type of calls, because, and I know I joke about this all the time, but you know, everybody in my family, they're doctors, right?
Right.
So they...
Not everybody, Mike.
Except for your boy.
There's one who didn't quite make it.
One guy didn't make it, and that's me. But I've had enough conversations with them about problems which I thought were the end of the world, or with my father or my mother, that when I got the call from you and there wasn't a definitive diagnosis, I felt like...
A definitive diagnosis of congestive heart failure.
Well, no. I'm just... In general, there wasn't
But I was on the way to get further info.
Until you found until someone said, look, man, this is definitely it. In my eyes, the call was important.
So you're a step ahead, basically. You're a step ahead thinking, no need for any kind of doom and gloom. And really, to be honest with you, I'm reporting the facts as I know them.
Yes.
And my interpretation of those facts is a little... on the dark
side.
It's
different. The way you had the conversation with us, you're like, I may never talk to you guys again. Goodbye, carry on, take care of my family, please.
I would not have been surprised if you had closed the call with saying, we will be shipping the equipment up.
So anyway, I wanted to get that characterization. So I'm heavy. I think I manically text you in the lobby of the ER that, you know, with kind of a pep talk at the same time. Because all I'm thinking right now... And
be funny.
I'm taking this as be an advocate. Be an advocate, be an advocate, be an advocate.
Oscar mentioned the right thing.
And Oscar mentioned that in our little texting chain, that you need to be your own advocate. It's good, advice.
I was just saying to myself that, you know, I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to be nasty, but I am not going to in any way
take no for an
answer.
Do
anything but say, I want to do this. I want to know. But I didn't need to. I went to the ER. You know, the good sister says to me, you know, you let them know you're having chest pains when you breathe because that gets you evaluated. Well, I was having chest pains.
Yep.
And even though I've been having chest pains for 6 days, you know, it was something that, you know, it gets you in there and you're freaked out and they send you in, go back out, go back to the ER. And that's when the process continued and met a great nurse in there. And the odyssey went on and on and on until I met the second and who will be, in my opinion, the major hero of our story. This man will be known as Dr. D.
Dr. D.
And by the way, ladies, Dr. D, if you're out of Central Casting, out of Central Casting and you are looking to cast a doctor program anywhere from the ER era to modern times, Dr. D would probably be called back. He comes in and gives me the workup, and very shortly afterwards, he said to me, came back in and said, "I don't think you have congestive heart failure."
Oh!
And I suddenly, you know, I feel my shoulders. I feel like this little weight comes off of me. And he says, "I think you have a blood clot." And I said, "Well, I had a full test at the IDGAS hospital today." And they said, "No." And then the other said, "Yeah, I know that." He's like unflappable. And he's saying, "Well, that test is okay, but you're allergic to this dye, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, we're going to put some medicine in you where you're not going to be bothered by that, and we're going to get a look at what's really going on."
Well, you don't do it the right way.
Wow.
They take blood. They're running some tests, and I'll pick up on this when we come back.
Wow. It's did you know that there was an option that you could be like pre-treated to not be allergic to the dye?
Yes.
Had that ever been brought up?
Yeah, but it just was not part. You know, you get an allergy and you put it on. They put it on
exactly,
your chart,
and they don't bend from it.
They proceed from there. And I think when I've had two options to look at my ticker when it was considered a potentially serious situation, and both times they have done that, and I've been okay. We will tell you what the end game on all of this is when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Fun couple of days, though.
Yeah.
Glad to be back on the show.
Good to have you back.
Thanks so much.
Welcome back to WDGH. This is Gowan, and I'm joined in studio with none other than the Pony Boy himself, Matt Bloom. Welcome, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only have time for a couple questions. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you're the senior producer of the Mike O'Mara Show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is that a job as fun as I'd imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You've been up in your presence quite a bit as of late, and the fans seem to really dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Given your impeccable timing and impressive vernacular, do you think your role will continue to grow?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
All right, well, we just don't have enough time. We really don't. I mean, that's really stellar, but we got to move on. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Not all ingredients are created equal. I got the major story of my life to tell you here, and I just got to get to it. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better, and they are better for you. How long was that, just out of curiosity?
42.
God, seems like triple that. That's why you got to try Blue Apron. Blue Apron makes incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Don't throw it away. We'll play it again. That blow up normally means it's a fatal blow. We'll have that promo on
it. It was just a flesh wound.
Blue Apron has the highest quality standards, and Blue Apron always brings you the best. And because they ship to the perfect amounts, you don't waste food. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients that make delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. Check out Carla O'Mara's Facebook page, folks, if you want to see single Blue Apron recipe that's ever been created. She not only makes them beautifully, because they're easy to make beautifully, but she shows you pictures and tells you how good they are. When it comes to variety, flexibility, and ease, you can't beat Blue Apron. It's always changing and always delicious. Check out this week's menu and get three meals with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Check out their chicken tinga tacos with summer squash and tomato salsa. Yummy. Welcome back to the show. I'm in the ER. They decide they're going to go with these tests. We're running short on time. Yes, Oscar.
Just briefly, the idea of being your own advocate is so important. And I think that as you continue your story, you'll understand why. And after your call to both Rob and I in our conference call, Rob and I had a quick exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Look, man, from what I hear and what I know secondhand is that they're either going to put him on the right medication to get him right, or B, he's going to the right place to get a definitive, this is the problem," right?
When I got this diagnosis, and this is with no research and no knowledge of congestive heart failure.
Well, you hear heart.
And you hear heart and you hear failure and you hear enlarged heart and you think, you know, that's bad stuff, obviously. It is bad stuff.
During your call, you said, "That's no surprise. I've been living my life the way I've been living."
Yeah. Little self-loathing popped into that call, boy.
And I believe what it was because of the speed you were moving.
I'm Irish.
the speed you were moving, I think we can actually put quotation marks about this. You said, you know, personal history, quality of life.
That's the dark side
yeah.
coming through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you think about that. You think I think about
sure.
my 40s. Jesus Christ. So anyway, comes in, he says this, and suddenly there's just a little, I never thought I'd be hoping for something, but he wants to do the workup. This nurse, this is the one name I'm going to mention. Her name's Jolene. And I sang the Dolly Parton song when she came in there. I went, Jolene, Jolene. She said, oh, my God, honey. And I got the touch on the shoulder. And I got
she liked
one.
That?
I said, my comment to her, I said, when you leave your shift, what did I say to her? I said, when you leave your shift tonight, will you tell your family that one of your patients said, I'm glad I got a Jolene tonight? That's because she was just absolutely.
That's great.
She was the one I wanted. She was the one that was just, you know, it was all bedside manner, over the top, and was just spectacular. And I needed it at that particular moment. By the way, all the people I dealt with were pros. So they take me and they wheel me down and they give me the meds. And by the way, the medicines they give you when you have an allergy like mine are a little steroid. Because steroids fix everything.
Yeah.
And Benadryl, an IV Benadryl, which the nurse Jolene, I believe, said to me, we're going to put this in you a little slowly because it tends to make you feel a little weird, a little bad, but also kind of will make you sleep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was instantly going to happy land. I went from being, well, I'm really glad that I'm getting.
Well, I know how Benadryl works anyway, and in an IV form, I can only imagine. Yeah.
So I get wheeled down there. They do the test. They couldn't have been nicer when they're doing that because you're a little freaked out. And because I worry about an allergic reaction, I'm thinking, I hope nothing happens. And all I know. The only thing I hear, because they give me a little instruction here, they're like, okay, so now you just have to understand what we're going to do. And I'm like, I didn't hear that part. I said, and somebody, warm. And I thought maybe they were saying, if you feel warm, let us know. And I said, I do feel a little warm. And what they were saying was, it's normal to feel a little warm.
Oh, it's normal to feel warm. Don't notify them.
But yeah. I will tell you at the very end of the test, the area where I felt the warmest, and I mean heat, literally at the end of this test, it was a room full of women that were doing this, and the warmth, the hot, the spear of hotness was at the bottom of my balls.
Oh.
I am not kidding.
Thin skin.
That's it. She said, perfectly normal, sir. They were phenomenal. They were funny. They were funny, and we laughed about it. And I said, let me just say that where I felt the warmness, there's nobody in this room that would ever experience the same sensation. And they wheel me out, and then it's tick, 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 tick.
Time is crawling.
Long story short, Dr. D comes rolling back in.
Dr. D.
Walks in, and he says to me, he said, you don't have a blood clot. You have two. You have a pulmonary embolism. A very serious situation, but one that I was rooting for because I didn't want the heart failure, and I didn't want the enlarged heart. And by the way, he also said, you don't have an enlarged heart. You're a big person with a big rib cage, and you don't. Turns out, I don't have that. I was admitted, though, because of this little situation, and I stayed last night in the hospital, the night before in the hospital. I was released last night from the hospital. I have the embolism. I have the blood clot in my leg also. It's from the surgery. It's not from anything else but that. That's what caused it. I had major hip surgery.
Yeah.
Hip surgery tends to generate these. They have a protocol that they put you on blood thinners, you know, during this process. Didn't do it for me. And I have a family, as it turns out, a history of my mom had them, my niece had them, my cousin Teddy had them. A lot of people were checking that out right now, but I am on the medicine they are now prescribed. I'm okay. I'm feeling a little tired, a little run down, but I'm fine, and I'm treating it. And what I'm treating it with, ladies and gentlemen, you have probably seen this commercial a million years ago. It started, I am being treated with the Kevin Nealon drug.
Hey, and amazingly.
You know the one I'm talking about, the Xarelto?
Yeah. And Mike, amazingly, you're taking the same pills as Kevin Nealon, yet you managed to be funny.
With Arnold
why
Palmer?
And why did they use Kevin Nealon? Because they spent all their money on Arnold Palmer.
That's right.
That's why. You know, that's it. So that's what
couldn't
I
couldn't
get
using. Chris Kattan.
I looked at this guy as they're, as they are wheeling me up to the room overnight, where they put me on a drip to start this. Oh, by the way, did I mention that the good doctor, Dr. Goodlooking, actually decided to put me on the medicine before the test.
Because he's that forward thinking.
Because let
he's
me tell
smart.
You what, yeah, what he does is he doesn't do his job like a lot of people do his job. He does his job because of the training that he has, where he makes the evaluation and he errs on the side of what he thinks is right. His quote to me before I went in, he said, this was great, because he said, you have 99 out of 100 things you're pointing to this being a blood clot. He said, and that's kind of what makes me nervous, because that's medicine.
Yeah.
I thought that was just cool. I thought that was giving me a real assessment of the potential that maybe it
this
might
not
be.
This is the data.
Yeah. But this guy was a stud, and they're wheeling me out to admit me, and I went by, and I just gave him, you know, the thumbs up, because who would root for a blood clot? Let me tell you who would root for a blood clot. Somebody that had an alternative to having congestive heart failure and an enlarged heart. That's it. And got in there. They took care of it. I've been looked at, and that's the journey that just went on and on and on.
Wow.
And it was exhausting, but at the same time, once you know that you're being treated for what you have, and it's been definitive diagnosis, if there is one person that I would say probably needs to kind of reevaluate, whoever did the analysis of my original test, this is the faceless, nameless person that reported to my original doctor.
Right.
All I know is the pulmonologist that came in and saw me about this little lung thing said, let me look at that. He didn't give me the results, but he was just a little mildly irritated at the that this didn't show up initially. But who knows? I'm not a doctor, so I don't
What's
do those
the prognosis?
Things.
Yeah, and the prognosis is, are they just treating it with thinners? Does it eventually, forgive my stupidity, does it eventually dissolve?
I have some good news.
Okay.
The good news is yes, that's how it's treated. This goes on for a very long time with this medication, but it's a by-mouth medication. I'm probably going to be seen by this guy on a regular basis. That's the way that's going to go down. I'm going to get a lot of answers next week to find out what I do, what I don't do. But, you know, I was halfway through the prod this morning. Yesterday morning, I was taken off the IV and put on the oral stuff because I got to the right dose with
the levels.
IV, the levels, the therapeutic levels,
fast.
As they like to call them. They did a great job.
They're
and the
so
thing
fast.
Is... The the good news is there will be no right hip surgery anytime in the near future. For some reason, when you put a blood thinner in there, they don't want to cut you open again.
Yes.
But that's where we are.
It's a gusher.
And we got a blader. We got a blader here.
We call him the faucet.
So it was it was something where at the end of the day, all I came away with, really, and even when I make a joke about the I don't give an S people, you know, it was one experience, and yes, was that also the experience that kind of caused the misdiagnosis? Yeah, but I mean, listen, am I the first person that's had that happen where you've had a misdiagnosis? No, I'm not.
Second opinion, Mike.
Okay, you're ugly too.
Hey, how are you? But the lady at my doctor's office, I can't, you know, this is a physician's assistant who immediately diagnoses as what it was.
Yeah.
And you know what? And then right through the entire process, with these doctors and these nurses who are, you know, not only trained well and deal with some of the worst situations and all the crap we don't want to deal with, are phenomenal people. I've said it before. I've experienced this year with everything I've been through. And I'm, my respect, and Oscar can probably speak to this too with his family members. There's a level of commitment and there is a level of training and there is a level of responsibility that exists in medical professionals. In most cases, are there exceptions? Of course.
Yes.
That I find absolutely awe-inspiring, and I am so proud of people in America that do this. And these are the people, I swear to Jesus, that we ought to be putting on television and telling stories
celebrating
about,
them.
Because
yes.
I'm sure they've got stories. They've got as many stories as the Kardashians have
Unsung
stories.
Unsung heroes.
And they are just, it really is something that, that's what I came away with. And you know that I am a lifelong bitcher. I love to bitch. The only time I get a little pissy, and Rob's been with me on an airplane with this, you know how when it's the end of the trip?
Yes.
That I get a little edgy?
Yeah, you want it to be over.
When it was the end of the hospital stay and I was
waiting. Oh, that's the
for,
worst. Oh, when you're waiting to be discharged?
When I was
and they say,
the
I will get
guy.
You out of here by dinner time, and it gets
main,
to be 6:30, 7.
And the main guy arrives, and he basically tells you everything that everybody else has told
yep.
you
mm-hmm.
that you already know, and it's like, okay. You know, I've just gone through a dossier about that thing,
yep.
and then the guy runs in and says, well, here's what we think you're going to have to do. You're going to do that. And it's like, okay, I understand. And am I out? Am I out of here? And the only other thing I would add, space-age wheelchairs in the hospital.
What about
them? Very, very cool. the day of the
they're
Mr.
no
Potter
longer made
wheelchair.
Of wood.
They are no longer made of wood. They are super spacious. Do we have to take one more break?
We should, if we can.
All right,
then
let's
we can
take one more break,
up.
And we'll wrap this up when we come back.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gary Stein, Boy Scout from Troop 5, Maplewood, New Jersey.
Yes, indeed. On this week's episode of the show, Gary goes camping with the Boy Scouts.
That doesn't sound good, Tony.
But it is very funny. Also, we're joined by Jasmine Brand, pop culture specialist. We talk about the Kardashians, Black China, and Big Butts.
Those don't go together.
Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. I love Amazon. You'll love Amazon. It's really the best, and it's a great way to help this show. Go to Amazon.com, shop through our portal. Amazon takes the hassle out of shopping for anything because Amazon has everything. And the fact is that anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a teeny tiny percentage. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it's the best and easiest way for you to support your friends here at TMOS. Remember, if you need it or want it, Amazon has it. Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. It's that simple. Thank you for your help. And we wrap this thing up. I'll take questions from the peanut gallery or comments or how everybody feels or if I left anything out or if you guys
want
to hear more.
What makes the wheelchair so space age?
Oh, it is super modern and it's wider. And the only reason I could get for the development of this thing was theft prevention. It's
really?
Too big. It's too big to fit in somebody's car. You can't fold it up.
Oh, it's a non-folding one.
It's a non-folding one, and it's designed to take you from a hospital room to test and back, and take you. Well,
oh, it's
they,
like the shopping cart. The shopping cart.
Or where the wheels lock if you take
yeah,
it out of the.
Yeah, it's got some sort of GPS,
yeah, exactly.
Geofence.
Well, I thought it was just ducky. I thought it was absolutely.
My comfort factor, is it as comfortable as a solid made American car?
Phenomenal comfort.
Really?
Better comfort than that plastic thing you said.
Yeah, I guess so.
How is Carla and little Michael?
Yeah, how are they handling
Carla,
it?
Carla had a rough 24-hour period.
Poor Carla.
I insisted that Carla call Kathy because, you know, she doesn't have, we don't have anybody down here. And
right.
So, and
hated
she,
by your neighbors.
My by the way, my family.
No close friends.
My family, I have a cardiologist in my family. So I was greasing
Good.
The skids.
Yeah.
I was greasing the skids to get this. You know, get the second opinion that you guys talk mm-hmm. about and get all this thing worked out. And my sister, you know, she was an EMT, and so she is fancies herself everything medical. She just has thousands of questions. She's the one that gave me the information about this thing, maybe being a genetic, and I'm being tested for
loves
that.
Loves to call her in the show.
Yeah.
Loves that she gets
loves to give
pass.
You, you know, good medical advice when you're 57 and not before. These are the things you want to
no,
be looking
that,
out for starting
horrible.
Now.
Mike,
oh,
you know
oh,
that
Rob,
bar you drink at every night.
She has given it to me for my entire life. Shut your mouth. You know, she's terrific. She really is, you know, and she was the, she was an amazing source of strength. Kathy and I, you know, have, you know, forged a new chapter in our lives since my mom passed.
Yeah.
And it, it helped out this time. Let me tell you something. It helped out with a lot because she's really, my sister and I don't get, get real, blubbery when we talk to each other. We get kind of factual. And it's, you know, she gave me some good questions to ask, and I chugged along, and it was cool. But the long and short of this is that through this whole thing, emotionally, it was a little disconcerting.
Oh, absolutely.
And I learned.
Well, what a ride. I mean, you went from yes to no to yes to no to we can treat it. But there were times where you really thought you were staring death in the face.
And by the way, important to point out, because we have listeners, I'm sure, that have experienced all sorts of medical issues. One of the things I learned out of this process, the original diagnosis that I got, that is treatable as well. And there are plenty of people that have that and are treated.
And live.
Yep.
It doesn't sound good, but it's what they deal with. But at the same time, you know, it sounds horrible. It's about the worst sound. You know, next to the big casino,
yeah,
heart failure is something you don't want to hear on any level at any time. And that when I heard that you know, I didn't know when I first heard that. I didn't know until I was sitting in a hospital room at night after I'd been admitted. And, you know, the beautiful nurse that was sitting there to me said, no, it's not a death sentence.
Did you ever?
Oh, that's you know, sweet.
Like a, yeah,
that's
she was
very
cool.
Sweet.
They were all cool.
She had a doll that she was poking pins
and
into.
And then the,
no, we're not doing that either, you bastards.
The weird thing is,
yeah,
is the attending came in. The attending came in after that and said, no nurse has seen you.
Mike, do you feel like, and this is an honest question.
Right. Sure.
That when you're on the phone talking to the the doctors that are, or the nurse practitioner, whoever was giving you the initial diagnosis of the
congestive heart failure
and an enlarged heart.
Do you ever feel, because the people of, or have around you, especially Carla, has been burdened so much to keep that in your pants until you definitely know?
Oh, not even a second. Oh.
No, you got to share that.
Not even a second. You know what? And maybe that would have been a cool thing to do. I don't have that chip.
Spoken like someone who's not married.
Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't. If you'd been with
you
somebody.
You got to share
for,
it right away.
You know, I'm coming up on 14 years with Carla together. We'll be married 7 years.
My father didn't tell us he had cancer until he got the third opinion.
Your father has spent the majority of his life living in another country.
That's a good call.
So that is.
Cancer is
not a fast moving thing like a blood clot.
I was actually mad at my dad for not saying anything initially, and he says, "Oscar, what could you have done except for worry?" And I said,
"Was anyone there when your father got the phone call?"
My mom was there, and he still didn't tell her until he knew for sure.
When did the second family
find
out?
But he's also a doctor, right?
That's right.
He's also a doctor, and he probably takes it in stride. And he says, "Let's make sure this is the case."
Yeah.
But I just that's
Mike, not a doctor.
No, Oscar. Unfortunately, when I received the call, Carla was looking at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't
have been able, if I'd wanted to,
I wouldn't have been able to anyway. But I didn't even process.
And if you would have left, it's not like you'd be like, "I'll be right back."
Yeah, I'm gonna see
you on Thursday.
After I told her the first two words that came out of my mouth were, "I'm sorry."
Oh,
because I really no, because you think that brought on by whatever happened. Now, over the last, almost the life of the podcast, have things gotten better for me? Yeah, but when I look at my 40s and I look at the speed I traveled at and the nights I kept and the amount I drank, it was not, you know, mm-hmm. I and the way I've eaten my whole life on and off, that's changed over the last
Gotten healthier.
Mm-hmm. But a little bit, but I'll tell you something, regardless of the diagnosis and where we ended up, all this crap, folks, all this crap can be avoided. If I was less of a fat ass. That's the way I believe it. I believe that, you know, because I wouldn't have had the hip surgery to start with. I believe all that. Can you be thin and have everything I've had? Yes, you can. But I ultimately think a healthier lifestyle. And when you hit 50, is there anyone in this, in the sound of my voice that is listening to this? When you hit 50, it becomes a bit of a freight train. Mm. It does. If you are overweight.
Rob, how do your 40s look like?
You know what's great is I'm listening to what Mike says. I got 5 years.
That's good. That's fantastic. Am I right on time, pal? Am I
dead on, baby?
I'm dead on. I thought I would be. But I'm here.
5 more years.
I am here. I am queer. I am happy to be with all of you.
We are so glad to have you back.
The boys are going to go on now and tape the bonus show. It will be the Rob and Oscar show.
Bonus.
Because your boy happens to be just a tad tired, and this took a little bit to tell this story. And I think I got everything in there. I think I did
perfect.
Everything.
Absolutely
and,
perfect.
You know, I'm going to be sending around a lot of Sherry's berries and a lot of cake pops to people.
Nice.
Because I kind of like the way I was treated in the whole process.
Good
so you
want
to get some good care? Roll down here to West South Florida. They most of the places really know how to treat you. That's my last positive, everybody. That's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Be sure and join us every day on the air or online at MikeO'MaraShow.com. To mail us anything that doesn't stink or tick, our address is TMOS, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. All messages and birthday requests for our weekly mailbag segment can be sent to Rob with 2 B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We are all about you. Thanks for your continued passionate support of all things TMOS, and please continue to spread the word about our show all over the world. Sorry. For Rob Spiewak, I almost made it, and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara reminding you. Thank you. Goodbye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.